Today we continue our study on the subject of worship, and I invite your attention, turn please, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1 and verse 1, as we look at worship, an opportunity for prayer. We're going to read about 18 verses, or not about, we're going to read 18 verses here, and so it's going to be a little longer, but that's okay. God's Word always has more to say than myself or any preacher, for that matter. Would you stand with me in reverence to the Word of God? 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. Whenever it came time for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, the husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after she had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put away your wine. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said to her, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we approach your throne of grace today with thanksgiving for your goodness toward us. We thank you, Lord, for our Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son. The sacrifice he made upon the cross of Calvary, paying our sin debt, and through that sacrifice, we know that we are children of God. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come before you and worship you in spirit and in truth and lift up our thanksgiving and our praise, for you're worthy. And we thank you for the opportunity to bring our prayer request before you this morning. Lord, we're reminded that your house is to be called a house of prayer. We're reminded that as we gather together, you're in our midst. And Lord, you know every prayer need in this congregation. You know those who are dealing with hurts, challenges, troubles, tribulations. Father, I pray that you will bless and you will provide exactly what they need at this point in their life. Move freely among us, Lord. Convict of sin. Draw all men to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. There is something very special about coming together as a church family in a church setting. I've had people say that there's something different about Victory, that you can feel it when you walk in the door. And I believe that. But I believe the reason is because where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in their midst, Jesus said. It's wonderful to see you every week, but it's most wonderful to come before the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is His Spirit that is here. And that's what makes the difference. And so today I want to start by reminding you, you know, as you feel that Spirit working among us, you know that God is here. You have been given a great opportunity to bring your cares, your burdens, your sorrows before the Lord and seek His answer to the needs in your life. What a wonderful opportunity you have been given to come before God and make your request. A wonderful opportunity of prayer. And today we're going to ask three questions. Number one, what do you want? What do you want? Question number one. We meet Hannah in the text, and Hannah was one of two wives of a man named Elkanah. And Hannah's problem was that she had no children. And she wanted children more than anything else in the world. You see, in the Hebrew culture, children were considered a blessing of God, which they are a blessing of God. Children are a blessing of God. Yes, they are. Praise the Lord. I love every one of our children. And in the Hebrew culture, the more children you had, the more blessed you were of God. In the same sense, the lady that did not have children was considered to be cursed of God. And Hannah, each year would go by and it would be another year without children. And each year would come time for them to go to Shiloh and worship at the tabernacle. It was the same thing. They would go there and it was another year without a child. The one thing that she had wanted more than anything else in the world. And to make matters worse, she was severely provoked by the other wife, Peninnah. And it was her mission to make Hannah's life as miserable as she possibly could. And I love Elkanah, her husband. I love his response. It's typical man. And as he looks and he sees the pain of his dear wife that he loves so much, he says, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to give her a double portion every year. So as he gives out gifts and things to his wives, he gives Peninnah and her children so much, but he gives to Hannah and he gives her twice as much. And then he asks the really dumb question. Every year, the same thing. And so I guess the men mentality, he gets kind of tired of it and he says, lady, what is wrong with you? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? And you see, that's the way we are. We kind of think, well, she's broke, I'll fix it. Funny thing is, he couldn't fix Hannah what was broke, right? And I smile because I see myself there. What's wrong? Let me fix it. If I can't fix it, I'll give you something to make you get over it, right? but it never addressed the problem. It did not help her. And you know, what Hannah wanted more than anything in the world was a child. Today, if you could have anything that you wanted, what would it be? Understand that today, in this worship environment, we have come before the Creator of the universe, that there is unlimited power at your disposal. No need is too big, no need is too small for the God of the universe. You stand before the God today that can answer any request that you make, whatever it is. He's big enough. Doesn't it kind of, it kind of humbles you. But it also makes you realize, thinking, wow, there's nothing that my God can't do. And there's nothing that I can't ask of my God. So, what do you want? Do you want good health? Perhaps you've been battling illness. Do you want more money? Nobody wants more money. Perhaps you've been battling a financial burden, you know, and dealing with expenses that you were not prepared for. And so it's become a real battle for you and you need more money. God's the God that can provide you with what you need, even money. Maybe you need a new job. You're miserable where you are and you just know you could be much happier somewhere else. Perhaps the blessings for your children. Do you ever pray for your children? Oh, please do. They need it, okay? They need it. And I'm not kidding there. They need your prayers. Going to college in search of a job. And of course, as parents, we want the best for them. We want them to have more than we ever had. So today, I want us to, at this point, to just stop and realize this is the house of prayer. And we are before the Creator of the universe and have the opportunity to ask Him for any need that may be in our life. And you say, or again, I ask you, what do you want? And you might say, well, Brother Doug, I have all I need. I don't want anything. Now, hold on. That's not good either. Because as I look around in this congregation this morning, there are people here that are hurting. There are people here who need to be saved. There are people here who need God's intervention in their lives because things are really unraveling. And to say, well, you know, I really don't need anything, just quite honestly, that's kind of selfish. Because your eyes are on you. Look around. See the needs of other people. And if you run out of things to consider asking for, well, let me help you. The coronavirus, that God will bring us through this coronavirus. That God will bless our president and our vice president as they lead our nation. That God will bless our governor as he leads our state. And by all means, pray for revival in our nation, that we will once again be a country who fears God. So right now, we stop. And I ask you the question, okay? It's going to be a reasonably short message today. I want you to ask yourself the question, what do I want? Okay? And we'll take a pause. Have you got it? Have you got it? Yes? No? Show me so I'll know we can go on. You got it? What do you want? Okay. You got it. Question number two. Why do you want it? Why do you want it? Look at Hannah's prayer. Excuse me. Hannah goes to the tabernacle and she prays asking God for a son. And she makes a vow before God saying, God, if you will give me this male child, then I will give him back to you for all his life. Wow. What a vow. The one thing that she wants more than anything else in this world, she says, God, if you will give him to me, I will give him back to you. There would be some who would say, you know, you shouldn't bargain with God like that. But I want you to understand, she's not bargaining with God. Okay? She's not just trying to get her way. She is totally surrendering the desire of her heart to the Lord. Now, when I ask you, why do you want it? Is it a need that you can totally surrender to the Lord? You see, at this point, do you know why Hannah did not have children up to this point? Because she was not ready to have children. Had Hannah had children before, the child would have only been just another cog in the competition between two wives. And it would have been her son. But as it is, God brought her to the point that she would pray, God, the most dear desire that I have in my life, if you will grant me this desire, I will give this desire back to you. Man, that's big. That is huge. She is doing something that should immediately catch our attention. And make us ask the question, why do we want what we want? Why are you going to ask the God of this universe for this that you have in your mind right now? Why should the God of the universe grant your request? You see, often we don't understand why God doesn't grant our request. I've had people get mad at God and said, I prayed for this and He didn't give it to me, and so I'm mad at God. And James chapter 4 verse 3 will answer your question. It says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Why do you want it? To be honest with you, when I got to this point in the study, I had to ask myself, oh boy, Doug, you need to reevaluate your prayer life. Because I'm good at asking God for things that I want. And oftentimes the things that I want benefits is of no benefit to the kingdom of God. You ever been guilty there? Oh Lord, bless me. Give me a job. Give me an opportunity, even in ministry. Lord, I want this and I want that. Why do you want it? Can you ask for what you ask for with a heart that says, God, I want this so bad so I can give it back to you? Have you prayed for good health? Maybe you're battling illness, as I said before. But you've got to, as you make this prayer, Lord, heal me, you've got to answer the question, why should God give you the good health that you desire? So you can continue to live without God? It makes no sense, does it? Why should God answer your prayer? Are you praying for a better job? Why should God give you a better job? How are you at the job you currently have? Are you faithfully serving God where you are? Are you asking God for more money? Why should God give you more money? What are you doing with what you have now? You see, most of us misunderstand prayer. And everybody listen. Prayer is not to get our will done in heaven. Prayer is to get God's will done on earth. Okay? So we need to back up and we need to think about what we're praying about and why we're praying it. What do we want and why do we want it? Not just so that we can say, I want it so I can have more stuff and so that I can have more joy and enjoy my life better. No. What about God? Where does He come in your prayers? Why do you want what you want? Question number 3.
What will you do with it when you get it? Number one, what do you want? Number two, why do you want it? Number three, what are you going to do with it when you get it? You see, if you read the rest of this chapter, and we stopped at 18, but just to kind of give you a rundown, after Hannah's prayer, she goes back home, and God answers that prayer, and she conceives. And God gives her a son, and she names this son Samuel. Now, we know Samuel to be a great prophet. And he grew in to be a mighty man of God. She named him Samuel. It comes from two Hebrew words. The first part, Sama, which means heard. El, which means God. You put the two together, God heard. She named her son God heard because she prayed and she poured out her burden before God who cared. And He heard and gave her what she needed. But here's where it gets interesting. After the child was weaned, she brings this child back to the tabernacle of God and says, God, this is the child that you gave me. Here, I'm giving this child back to you. And that child stayed at the tabernacle with the priest Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. He stays there. Now, I was trying to figure out, and I don't have a hard and fast answer. I was wondering, how old was this child when she left him? And I saw different ideas, but the general opinion was that he would have been weaned somewhere between 2 years and 6 years. So you understand. Here is a mama leaving her baby at the temple of God saying, God, He is yours. Whew. Man, have you ever been around mamas and their babies? You try to separate a mama from her baby. That's faith. That's my point. That's faith. You see, where it really gets interesting. Now, you understand this baby wasn't being abused. He would have been taken care of and taught and brought up in the activities of the temple and trained as a servant of God and as a priest of God. But it gets really interesting from here. The interesting part is that her blessings did not stop. You see, she brought this child back to the house of God. And she'd come back and see him once a year every time they had worship. She'd bring him a new robe to wear because as he grew up, right? But she goes back home. And she has three more sons and two more daughters that she didn't even ask for. Why? Because she was faithful from the beginning. Do you realize that when you're faithful to God from the beginning, that when you can pray a prayer that says, God, this is what I want. God, this is why I want it, for the benefit of your kingdom, for the benefit of my brethren. And God gives you that and you're faithful. God's not done blessing. He's not. It's amazing how God always goes over and above what we ask when our motives are pure. It's basically, I think, a law of prayer that if you ask in selfishness, there's a high probability that you will not receive what you want. Why? Because you're asking it selfishly so you can pile it on yourself. But if you ask in love and consideration of the others and present it from the viewpoint of God, I want this, and this is what I can do for your kingdom with this, if you grant my request. Then it's amazing how God gives over and above what you ask for. That's what He did for Hannah. She asked, God gave, she gave that baby back to the Lord. And that man became a mighty man of God. Did the same thing for Solomon.
You know, you read in the book of Solomon, God appeared to Solomon and asked him, you can ask for anything in this world. Ask, and I'm going to give it to you. And so Solomon said, God, I ask for wisdom that I may rule your people well. You see the two parts? Wisdom, that I may rule your people well. Remember what God blessed him with? God gave him the wisdom that he asked for. And he also gave him wisdom and riches and everything else he could possibly give him because he didn't ask for riches. You see, prayer is a very important avenue for the child of God. But we have to understand prayer. Prayer is not a drive-through window like McDonald's or Chick-fil-A where they say, how may we serve you today? Prayer is a surrender and submission. Surrendering my will to the will of God. Now I want to ask you one more time. What do you want? Why do you want it? And what are you going to do with it when you get it? Can God trust you with it? I said earlier that Hannah had not had children because she was not ready up to this point to have children. Because God couldn't trust her with it yet. Have you ever looked around at other people and thought, why can't I have those things? Not in jealousy, you know, but just look at them. Well, you know, Lord, why did you not give me that talent or that ability or that opportunity? Or, you know, and have you ever looked at it and just thought, could it be because you're not ready yet? Because you haven't understood the concept that we're not here to be served. We're here to serve. Amen? Listen, I know. Victory Missionary Baptist Church has been blessed through the years. And you want to know why she's been blessed? Because the attitude of the people have always been, Lord, how may I serve you? Willing hearts of people wanting to serve the Lord. And I will tell you, our culture is changing just a little bit. And I knew it was, I could see this coming a long time ago because the modern church, the church of today, is there to declare, oh, we're here to serve you. What you want, what you like, that's what we're... No, that's not what church is about. That's what a restaurant is about. When you go eat somewhere, you have a server. That server is there to bring you your food, your drinks, and to take care of you in that restaurant. God's house is not a restaurant. We're here to serve. Our prayer should be, Lord, enable me, empower me to serve so that I may minister to your people. And watch what happens. Brother Greg read the announcement earlier. We need help in children's department. Now listen. It's very easy to say, well, let somebody else do it. But I want to tell you something. God did not put you in Victory Missionary Baptist Church to let somebody else do it. He put you here to serve. Okay? I know we're going through a time of coronavirus, and I'll be honest with you. I know we have to take precautions. I agree we take precautions, but I'm almost to the point where I say, rain on it, I'm going to serve the Lord. Okay? And I don't mean that to say I'm going to foolishly go hug and kiss somebody with coronavirus. I'm not. But I'm not here to stand on sidelines. Not. And you're not either. Okay? So today I want to challenge you. You're not too old to serve. You're not too young to serve. What do you want from God? Why do you want it? And what are you going to do with it when you get it?
One more question. Are you a child of God? Are you saved? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? See, that's where this journey begins. Jesus Christ gave His life upon the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life. Now, what are you going to do with that? I challenge you. I hope your request is, Lord, save me so that I may serve You. Jesus, I know You died for my sin. Please forgive me of that sin and save me. You realize today, if you've never made that commitment, you're a prayer away from salvation. If you're already saved, question. What do you want? Why do you want it? What are you going to do with it when you get it? Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You for this day. And today we're reminded, oh, You are an awesome and a great God. And today, Lord, I pray that You will bring a revival to this church. That, Lord, You will revive our hearts. Give us servant hearts to serve You and to bless the kingdom of God and to be used for the increase of the kingdom of God. Lord, we are Your servants. Do with us as it pleases You. And now in this invitation, I pray that You'll give us the courage to respond. To respond to Your leading, whether it be for salvation, rededication, baptism, church membership, whatever, Lord, You lead, I pray Your will be done in this service so that we may be faithful servants in the future. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.